You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.
Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
On the 30th of October 2020, veteran journalist Robert Fisk sadly passed away. Now, prior to his death, he'd been working on what was to become his final work, Night of Power, subtitled The Betrayal of the Middle East. His widow, Nelofa Pazira Fisk, continued his hopes for the book, ensuring its publication, and now this in-depth analysis, prophetic account of the last 20 years in the Middle East is available in bookshops nationwide. And I'm delighted to be joined in studio by filmmaker, journalist and wife of the late Robert Fisk, Nelofa Pazira Fisk. Nelofa, good morning and welcome.
And good morning to you.
We'll talk about the book itself in a moment, but the making of the book, it was so long in the making, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, Robert used to take his time to write this kind of magnificent volumes where there was so much research involved and everything had to be checked and rechecked as well during the process of writing. And it took me longer as well. One, of course, after his loss, it was very difficult. But I also say this in quite sincerity that his book did save me because it became a purpose for me to try to get it finished and have it out. It is very important for people to read this book. And the editing process took a long time because I wanted to make sure it is correct and everything is as good as Robert would have liked it because he couldn't stand mistakes and typos. And so I feel that people here in Ireland has been really great to me and they have helped and sustained me to get through the process. And I do hope that they will honour Robert now and go get a copy and read. And
you've said in one interview, it's not a two-day read. This is a book that can be enjoyed, certainly, but studied.
Yes, because the book is almost, you can keep it on your shelf and it will be like an encyclopedic information about the Middle East.
And the index is terrific and the references are also terrific. So you can go to source material.
Yes, thank you for that, because Robert was very, very much like an academic mind. You know, he was a historian as much as a reporter. And there are chapters in the book that reads like as if he's out there reporting at the moment, that are first hand account of his own reporting. But then he also comes back and provides the analysis, the historical backdrop. So it is not something that you could quickly just go through, but it is a volume that actually will provide information for a long time to come because of the content and because of the depth of the material.
Now, the subtitle of the book, The Betrayal of the Middle East, is really the heart of the book. That's what it's all about. But the actual main title, Night of Power, you might explain where that comes from.
Night of Power is a reference to the night where the Muslim holy book, Quran, was descended from the heaven. And the Muslim world had believed that it was a night where it was a night of prayers and light. And the question, Robert picked the title obviously very, very purposely, because the question that he raises in the preface is that how is it that the Muslim world in which he says that he had lived 44 years of his life has come to be dominated by West culturally, militarily, politically? And so where is the light? And he himself refers to staying in the Middle East because he wanted to continue to read and read the next chapter hoping that there will be light one day through the curtains.
Yeah. The night of power being, what, the 27th day of Ramadan. And if you prayed on that night, you could be forgiven previous errors, whatever they might be.
That's exactly, yes, absolutely. Thank you. That's the description for the night of power. And the belief has been, of course, in the Muslim world that for whatever sins they may have committed, one day they might find freedom, which unfortunately is not there at the moment.
Now, obviously, the generation of the current difficulties in the Middle East, I mean, we had the history of empires and the clash of empires, but I suppose the key to the 20th and 21st century difficulties is the Balfour Declaration, where effectively the same piece of land was offered to two peoples.
That's exactly. So Robert was very keen in language and use of language. He goes back in the book and dissects the Balfour Declaration, which he says in 2nd of November 1917, this declaration has been the source of the troubles in the Middle East because the Brits were very deceitful. They lied to the Muslim Palestinian communities and Christian Palestinian communities by assuring them that the creation of State of Israel will not cause any disturbance or discriminate against the local populations. And they also promised the Jews in the world a piece of land in a place that they knew already was, you know, lived by other people. That's not to say that there were not indigenous Jewish communities in Palestine. In fact, there is an interview in the book with Moshe Dayan's widow that Robert conducted, and in which she talks about living side by side with the Arabs, and she learned Arabic herself. And so therefore, the communities that lived on the land, they were promised two different things, and the Brits could only honor one promise, which was the creation of State of Israel and the support henceforward for it, but they lied to the Palestinians, and unfortunately that lie continues to this day.
And we can find the root of all the current difficulties in that lie in the Balfour Declaration. And there is a sense too that Robert, his analysis of the attitude of Western powers to all peoples in the Middle East, be they Palestinian or Jew or Arab, whatever they might be, it's patronizing in the extreme.
Well, of course. I mean, look, if people are actually trying to kid themselves that the Americans, politicians or the rest of the Western world are going to really care about the Jewish lives, you know, they have to think twice about that, because what is happening right now in the Middle East, the continuation of this conflict and continuation of occupation is going to only and only create more hostility and conflict. And it also endangers the lives of the Jews. I mean, look, October 7th was an example of that, that if you are going to only support a community, not for the right to have peace, but just to have the land, that is not going to solve the problem. And Robert used to say, look, it's not rocket science. It's a very simple, straightforward matter. You can have a state of Israel to live side by side next to state of Palestine, but occupation must end, because the continuation of occupation enables organizations, violent organizations like Hamas, to be able to take advantage of that and wreak as much violence and horror on the Jewish communities. So obviously, the Western world has to reckon now that what is the solution in the future? Because so far, what has been happening is not justice and it's not peace for either of those communities.
Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
Now, we tend to regard all the forces, be they French or German or British or American or Canadian, as forces for good. And we really have to question that, particularly in the light, say, of the invasion of Iraq by George Bush the second, as it were, using the pretext of weapons of mass destruction. That was a lie.
Yes. Well, the thing is, the book starts with the post-invasion of Iraq and ends in Syria. And Robert chose that structure purposely because one of the things that he really talks about, and I like to emphasize that in the post-invasion of Iraq and the war in Afghanistan, we have entered a new world order. This new world order meant that the Americans and the Brits can get away with killing civilians and calling them collateral damage. They would drop bomb in an entire compound in Baghdad, and then they would say, well, because the compound resembled that of Saddam. They got away with it, okay? And they're still getting away with it. So what we are seeing around the world right now, Robert was warning even at the time that these behaviors would be replicated by our allies and foes, and then how are we going to square? Because we have broken the traditional rules of war and we have crossed the international law and we are disregarding the protection of civilians, which is enshrined in the international law. And so now we are looking at the situation with Ukraine. Putin is doing exactly the same. And now we're looking at Israel and Netanyahu and the right-wing government in Israel and IDF are doing the same. And they are killing civilians. They are targeting civilians and they are killing them. And then they are saying, one, because a Hamas fighter was hiding there. Secondly, that these people are just collateral damage because the greater good is to try to destroy a terrorist organization. So the Americans have set the precedent in the post-war Iraq during the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan, and now the rest of these other people are following it, which means is that we are coming to live in a very dangerous world right now. And that's what Robert talks about as one of the major themes of the book is about this normalization of this kind of warfare.
The idea that we can no longer maintain that we are on the high moral ground, because we are not. And I'm using this collectively about the West. And also the alliances that are formed and they are shifting all the time. I mean, there was a time when Saddam in his early days, even though he executed people immediately upon taking power, people in his own party with whom he disagreed, he was, if you like, the darling of the West. And then everything changed.
Yes, of course. And I think that's where the hypocrisy of the West is. OK, this is why we are not standing on a high moral ground. I'm sorry to say it's been a very long time that that ground is lost because Americans have supported Saddam Hussein in its invasion of Iran. Over a million people were killed and gassed. It destroyed the Kurdish communities and the Shia communities and the Americans stood by him. Now, look at it. Ursula von der Leyen goes to Egypt and rewards the Egyptian dictator with a lot of money and support as part of a European package. Why? Al-Sisi, and there is two chapters, by the way, about the Egyptian revolution in the book. Al-Sisi, or Field Marshal Al-Sisi, is as horrible as Saddam was. He has killed as many Egyptians. He has completely got rid of any opposition to himself, and he came to power in a coup d'etat. But right now, he is the darling of the West because he is protecting the Israeli border, because he is providing opportunity for the Western world to continue its domination of the Middle East. And so therefore, we can say, yes, Iran is an Ayatollah country. It is a draconian autocratic society. But we don't hear about Egypt in our media either. Why? Because that's exactly like what Saddam was in the 1980s to the American power. American and the West, in general, are trying to court all these dictators or the king of Saudi Arabia. You know, we are talking about these powers and normalization of relationships with these countries. And you look across the map in the Middle East, there are not a single democracy in the region. But how is it that we are courting all these dictators? The local populations rose up in 2011 to try to throw away all these dictators. And look at what has happened to them. And they are the ones who are behind the bars and they're leaving their countries.
Gaddafi was tolerated as well for many, many years before his demise.
Well, hold on. And so was Bashar al-Assad's father. And then now a lot of diplomats, Western diplomats, are traveling back to Damascus to try to normalize relationship with Bashar al-Assad that they were going to overthrow a few years ago. So, of course, these kind of hypocrisy, people see through it. And this is why there is so much disenfranchisement. There is so much anger around the world and the Western world, telling the politicians, you have to stop this kind of a double talk and hypocrisy.
Now, the question of leadership in Israel, for example, I mean, the current leader is Benjamin Netanyahu. And there's a quotation in the book from a former tank commander whose name was Rafi Etgar. He has an art gallery back in 2011 anyway, when Robert was talking to him. And he talks about Benjamin Netanyahu and he says, "I was sitting in front of the television. Netanyahu was the best actor. He knows how to give his show. And unless you know that he's always playing this game, you would be tempted to believe what he says. He is the best acrobat in the Middle East." And he goes on to talk about Mahmoud Abbas as well. But this is a guy you think, OK, he's a critic of his own prime minister. But he cannot see any way in which Palestinians, this guy who might be seen as kind of liberal, any way in which the Palestinians could be given East Jerusalem.
Yes, I actually feel that one of the things in the chapters about Israel-Palestine, the conclusion that Robert came was that the two-state solution was dead because the number of settlements and colonies that were built on the Palestinian lands, and also because of the shift in attitude that even the liberal-minded Israelis were beginning to wonder if they should give up more of the land and they will see a Palestinian state. I have to say that, unfortunately, there are not any other solutions except for the world trying to go and find a way to create a state of Palestine, even as symbolically as it is recognition now, but they have to. The other danger, I think, in the current situation is that everybody's just trying to make Netanyahu as the bad guy. He's the culprit. But in fact, Netanyahu, a little bit like in America, is kind of the Trump of Israel, that he's standing in the forefront, but behind him is a force as horrible and as dangerous as the force that stands behind Trump in America. So why aren't we alerted to that? And why is it that most of our media is still cowering and trying to balance their stories by, if they say something critical of Israel, then they also have to start bashing Palestinians in order to balance the stories? Is
but
also
when you go
something
back to October
this.
The 7th, what happened as a result of that was absolutely inevitable. Israel has a track record of responding to those kind of atrocities in a very predictable way.
Yes, and I actually feel that a lot of people in Gaza themselves, at that moment when they saw what happened, they were bracing themselves for atrocities because Gaza is not new to war. There have been previous invasions. But at the same time, when the two people are involved in a conflict, of course there is going to be propaganda. Of course there is going to be denial of responsibility. Of course there is going to be irrational behavior. But it's the world outside that has the responsibility to interfere and do not give carte blanche to one very powerful military entity called Israel to go and kill civilians and get away with it. And instead of putting pressure on Israel or not sending arms to them to as many bombs to kill more civilians, they are trying to pressure the International Criminal Court or pressure the UN body to try to suppress any criticism of the government. That is not going to be very good for Israel, or it's going to be for the future of anybody, including Palestinians.
You know, reading the book, in spite of Robert's belief that the reason to keep going was because there was maybe some hope somewhere, glimmer on the horizon, given what's been happening since October the 7th and the history of the region, it's hard to see any hope at all of any resolution in our lifetime.
Well, the thing is, I mean, we have to fight for the right of people to live. Otherwise, slavery would have never been abandoned. We have to fight for justice. Every generation has the responsibility to do that, knowingly that it may not happen in our lifetimes. And Robert himself was an optimist. We were both optimists. We used to say to each other that if we didn't believe in something good that was going to happen, we would have given up long time ago. So because of that, yes, in the immediate sense, when you look at it, but you also develop a sense of perspective of history when you live in the region like we did, and you began to understand that, yes, you have to report the immediate, but at the same time, you have to keep holding on the bigger picture and keep pressuring, and for whatever it's worth it, we must continue to speak up.
I said this was Robert's last book. There were other books in the making.
Yes, Robert was working on three different volumes. One, actually, him and I were editing together. And it has nothing to do with Middle Eastern politics. It's about gardening, but it's deeper than that. So right now, I feel that I have given a lifetime of work in front of me by Robert, aside from the organization of his papers and archives and our library. I do hope I'll be able to live up to at least, continuing to work on some of his other projects.
There was one about a rail accident or a train, yeah?
Yeah.
What is that?
Robert was obsessed with trains and he believed in advancement and development, and he wanted to do an investigation of a rail crash in France and write a book about it because he was such an enthusiast, like a school kid. He just loved the idea of the trains. So yes, there are three other books that he had researched and left in the shelf that are sitting in the library.
And you may get to finish them.
I'll try my best. I hope so, of course, but I do miss him dearly every minute. And as much as I feel he's so much closer to me because of the work on what he left behind and I have to do. But obviously, not having him at the moment with especially what's going on so dramatically around the world and especially in Lebanon as well, which was our home for 44 years. Yeah.
Well, the book is called Night of Power, subtitled The Betrayal of the Middle East. It's available everywhere, published by Fourth Estate in London. It's a fairly hefty hardback. And Nellyfer Pazira Fisk, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Thank you for...
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
For having me, Pat.
Your brand deserves better than one-size-fits-all branded clothing. Lands End Outfitters creates apparel your team will want to wear, backed by above and beyond expertise. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product.